Welcome back to Connected Manitoba, where we explore the stories and insights behind community-driven initiatives. Today, we are exploring the research methods behind our project on rural connectivity, a topic that's not just about getting people online, but about empowering communities to take charge of their digital futures. Our study takes a qualitative approach, focusing on the experiences and perspectives of rural communities as they navigate alternative paths to connectivity. But what makes this project truly unique is our method. We are using storytelling and podcasting, not just to share these stories, but as a tool for data collection and analysis. Now, why podcasting? Podcasting offers a platform that's both engaging and accessible. It allows participants to share their narratives in their own words, capturing the nuances of their experiences in a way that traditional methods might not. Plus, this method puts the participants in the driver's seat as each episode was created in collaboration with the community featured. By involving the communities directly in the process, we gave them the freedom and control over how their stories were told.
So moving on to how we recruited our participants, we really wanted to find out and look around the province and who was doing what to connect their rural communities. So to do that, we used purposive and snowball sampling. You know, some of us around the table, like Joel and myself, had been aware of some of these community initiatives before coming into this project. We also collected and did an inventory using, you know, website scans and using Government of Canada's Universal Broadband Fund project list to identify some of those other community projects that were out there. So starting with those lists, both the knowledge that we came in with and the inventory that we were able to sort of develop off websites and off government lists, we specifically targeted communities that were on there that aligned with our models, specifically with models 2, 3, and 4. You know, those are models that where the community had sort of consolidated demand for the private sector, communities where they used a not-for-profit, sort of a cooperative model to deliver, or communities where they actually developed their very own internet service provision. So using those as our criteria, we also identified that we wanted communities to be small, maybe one or two municipalities. We didn't want ISPs that were, or projects that spanned provinces. We're looking at sort of local community initiatives. So we wanted to make sure that one of the criteria for selecting communities was that they were small or regional, sort of at most in size. Once we had our list of potential participants, our research team reached out through emails and phone calls to see if they'd be interested in participating. Specifically, we would connect with people that were identified as the contact on a specific initiative or with a community. So we'd reach out to the CAO in a community, the chief administrative officer, or the economic development officer. Or once we talked to that point of contact, often the right person to be to participate, we also asked them who else should be part of this story. Who else did they work with or has a lot of knowledge of that initiative in their community? And we invited them to be part of the podcast as well. In addition to asking community members who else we should talk to in their community, we also asked them to identify other community initiatives that they knew about that were either similar or ones that they had learned from. So using this approach, not only were we able to identify, you know, community members to help with that specific case study or that specific case example, but we used them to identify some of the other potential case examples in the province that we might not have known about. So that was how we identified, that's how we developed our list of participants. Now, not everybody participated or was able to participate. Some of the recordings took place over the summer. And then as we got into fall, we were working with school divisions and people that are harvesting. And so there was definitely some of the community initiatives that we reached out to weren't able to participate. So it's important to know that this is a small sample of some of the groups that were out there. So to collect data, we conducted semi-structured group conversations. So for the community episodes, we would normally talk to 3 to 5 people and we would have a conversation with them. We'd identify a couple of things that we wanted to talk about, you know, some of the challenges, how did it come to be, but we really wanted to have them tell us our story. And we'd often lead with that, like, tell us your story. Tell us what was really important here. Tell us how it came to be. Tell us where it's going. And it was the champions and the sort of the key people around the table that they'd identified for that community that would sort of lead us through those conversations. And you'll hear lots of the community episodes. There's a lot of content that does not include Joel or I talking very much. It's a lot of great descriptions of what happened, what went well, what didn't go well, sometimes what they would do differently, sometimes what they would tell other communities, and sometimes what next steps are. So for our podcast episodes with communities, that was how it was styled. We used sort of semi-structured group discussions. For our key informants, these are much more sort of traditional semi-structured interviews. It was typically one-on-one. Sometimes, you know, sometimes there was a couple of people for an organization. But these were interviews with organizations that had, were providing support to communities, were experts or practitioners in the area of community initiatives. And we used these key informant interviews to create context, right? To answer some questions that we might that might have been raised during our interview process with the discussion process with the communities. Or these were organizations that we had identified at the start of the project that we knew were critical actors in this sector, or for a specific geography in the province, or for a specific group of communities. So for those interviews, and you'll hear as you listen to them, you know, it is a lot of one-on-one. And that's sort of typically Joel and I would be asking questions and sort of some response. But again, we did ask, you know, the key informants as well to tell us the story about, you know, how they're involved in community broadband initiatives. So those are our two types of data collection that we do for this project and for this podcast. So that's how we collected the data. What's really unique is also how we produce the podcast episodes. Because this is community-based research, any time a participant provided content that we're using in a podcast episode, that participant was invited to be part of the production process and the editing process for that episode. So if that content was actually used in multiple episodes, so if it's used for a community case study and it's used in an analysis episode, that participant has the chance to sort of review two of those episodes. But what this means is that there's no content that's been used from the participants that hasn't been, or they haven't had the chance to review and approve. So we wanted to make sure that we were developing this in collaboration with the communities, making sure that all of the participants had a had an opportunity to contribute. We do differentiate that this isn't community-driven research at this point. We had explored this idea, but the communities are not designing the episodes, right? They're contributing and they're validating and they're reviewing the episode content. But we, the research team, put the episode together based on the analysis. We put the episodes together based on the cohesion amongst communities or key informants, and then we're reviewing them with the participants to make sure that they is it's consistent with what they were saying and that there's no messaging in here that's not valid. So it's community engaged research.
To analyze the data, we took the transcriptions of the podcast episodes and did thematic analysis. In this process, we looked for patterns and themes within the episodes and then coded the themes and reorganized them to analyze them further. So after we did our thematic analysis, we sent the themes and patterns that we saw to our advisory committee, and that analysis was recorded in a roundtable style, and you'll be hearing them later as our analysis episodes.
And again, the participants, that when their content is involved in those analysis episodes as examples, the participants have a chance to review and respond and revise their content prior to publication.
Each interview followed a flexible guide. We encourage participants to speak openly about their experiences, the challenges, the successes, and everything in between. The goal was to get a sense of who played what role in their project and how funding was secured, and to identify others who might want to contribute. We dug deeper into specific challenges and successes at each stage of the planning cycle. What we did was ask them primarily about the problem, just to give us an idea, to paint a picture from their perspective of what problem they were trying to solve. which I think left it very open and allowed them to really bring context for the researchers, ourselves, and the listeners to understand kind of the moment in time and what was going on. From there, we asked about the options. What did they have for options available to them? Not every community would have the same possibilities, either for their own interests or capabilities or just things that are available. Not everyone has the same access to internet service providers. So we asked them to explain what they had for options. And then the project, once they looked at the options, for them to kind of describe what the project looked like and how it unfolded. And from that, we kind of teased out some idea of what barriers did they experience and how did they overcome them or didn't, what kind of barriers possibly impacted their project. So it was really looking at them to tell us about how it all unfolded through that process.
So when it came to making our podcast episodes, we used the audio recordings from our community and key informant meetings, which were recorded on Zoom. And we did a thematic analysis on those recordings. And depending on how much recording we had with those communities and key informants, we would splice those audio fragments into a more coherent episode, which resulted in our 30 minutes to 1 hour episodes. The audio editing software we used was Hindenburg Pro, of which I was unfamiliar with and learned over the summer. And when it came to content editing with the team, we used an online software called Frame.io, which allowed us to upload videos and post comments at any time, which made the editing process a lot easier for me to see the video and comments, which had timestamps, so it made everything a lot easier for me during editing. And for the community and key informant meetings, we used unlisted YouTube videos, which allowed the video to remain private. And so the community and key informants either posted their comments on that unlisted YouTube video, or they emailed us with suggestions and edits.
And that's a wrap on the methods behind our research. By combining storytelling, podcasting, and rigorous qualitative analysis, we've been able to create something that's not just informative, but truly reflective of the communities we're working with. Thank you for tuning in to Connected Manitoba. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and share it with your network. Stay tuned for more stories from the front lines of rural connectivity. Until next time.